everybody, welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, December 11th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, at Gary Whitta.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Greg. I love Christmas.
I've heard you love Christmas more than anybody in the room.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I know you do too, which is why I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'm happy. This is just, if you're an audio listener, this is Gary is doing a thing.
Oh, that's right. People who are living on the podcast won't be seeing any of this.
A large majority of the people who listen to this podcast will not see this.
I pity them. They're going to have to go to YouTube or Twitch or whatever and go check out the video.
Sure, yeah, YouTube. Yeah, you go to YouTube.com. Kind of funny games. Even if you don't watch there, it's great if you sub.
Yeah, because we're both looking very Christmassy right now.
How new? You've outdone me quite a bit here.
I've tried. I know that you're always very, very... adorned in festive.
You got that
finery.
5 o'clock shadow, so now you got one of the green fuzzies from the. I got it. You're fine now. One of the outfits from it. Well, how long you had this sweatshirt?
I got it at Target. I was in the festive section looking for something appropriate.
Yeah, and you nailed it.
They have this cheap, silly shit, and you know, I said that I was gonna, you know, keep raising the game. I don't know what I'm gonna do next week yet.
Yeah.
The problem that I have next Big week one. Is not only do I have to figure out something for the last Christmas. Show that I'm going to do, but also I have to figure something out for Kevin. What are we doing?
Green Cats.
So that's what I need to know. Screen the nation cats. Has been waiting on bated breath here. What is the status of Screen Cats?
Well,
because there was conversations.
Actually, it occurred to me today, Kevin, unless I'm very much mistaken, by this time next week, we will have seen Cats.
Absolutely.
We will have seen it last night.
Okay.
Next week.
Right,
okay.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. That checks out.
And then the plan is, can we talk about when we're actually doing the show? I know we talked about it off camera, but can we announce when we're doing it?
Sure.
We're doing it Thursday.
Okay.
So a week from tomorrow, Screen Cats is happening.
Okay.
Kevin has shown me an early version of the logo.
Okay, good.
The graphics.
More work than goes into most of our shows.
We'll have seen the cats doing their thing.
Yeah.
You know, Taylor Swift and all of them. Judy Dench.
Idris Elba, I believe, is in there.
Idris Elba.
Yeah, yeah.
Who else? Jason Derulo.
Okay.
All your favorites.
The ones I think
of. It's like Cats is like a cinematic chocolate box that's got all your favorites in it.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, you never know what you're going
to
get.
It's like maybe you don't care for the Idris Elba marzipan.
Sure.
But you like the James Corden caramel over here and
of
the
course.
Ian McKellen fondant truffle.
As someone who saw this trailer, I think with the sound off briefly somewhere, you're giving me a lot of facts that I can't tell are true or fake.
Oh, so you're not up on all this?
I have not been following up on Cats.
You've been wasting your time on Star Wars and
video
DC
games,
and all that nonsense?
Yeah, exactly. And Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I got to say, I tried to watch a bit of that Crisis.
How'd that go for you?
Really? That's what you're into?
It's just that everything's crossing over, Gary. That's what's cool.
I mean, I do enjoy watching characters cross over.
Yeah.
I do like that.
I don't watch regularly.
And it seems, I gotta say, from a logistical standpoint, coming up with one... Because here's the thing. I was dumb about this. I went onto my YouTube TV app, and I typed in, like, Crisis and nothing came up. I was like, well, why is that? And I didn't realize it's actually not the name of the show. It's just an event that is seeded into
shows.
All these different shows.
Yeah.
So you've got to watch... Supergirl and Batwoman and Arrow and Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. You got to watch all these shows.
Yeah.
But and I'm not going to do that, but I do think it's very impressive that they weaved one storyline in that works through all the different shows, regardless of where they are in their own chronology.
Sure.
As an act of like story planning, it's very impressive.
Yeah. But enough about that.
But I'm not going to watch it.
No, I understand. I totally understand. Today, we're going to talk about the Game Awards Festival, porn, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Talk about a chocolate box with all your favorites.
Each and every week, down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe.
Hey, Greg, while I'm here, do you want a Star Wars spoiler?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but this is what Baby Yoda turns into.
Wow.
This God. Is...
God damn.
This is where it all ends up.
Mando's got to kill it right now. Kill it with fire.
It's an all-new Star Wars holiday special.
Jesus, God. Housekeeping for you. The Game Awards are Thursday. That's tomorrow. You can watch along with Kind of Funny. Twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. Tim and a ragtag group will be here reacting.
Will you be there? Will you be at the Game Awards?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be wasted. There, okay. If you see a whiskey bottle get thrown at Jeff Keighley, it was me.
But not nominated or anything. You had your day in the sun. Yesterday's news, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do they still have that award, though? Like Cool Gamer or Trending Gamer?
No, they blew it up, and then now it's, what, Content Creator of the Year? Yeah.
Who's up for that this year?
A whole bunch of
people.
Yeah,
no one from here, right?
Oh God, no. Okay. No. Well, it's all Twitch people now. It's all streamers.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it's all streamers.
I don't know why you're not up for it.
It's all Gen Z.
Twitch.tv.
I'm Gen X. I'm the forgotten generation.
Damn, man. I mean, I know why Fran's not up for it, but you? I don't understand.
Fran should be up for it. He's a good content creator.
Okay, should he be?
I should look at that list and see if I got any friends in there.
Do you? I think Dr. Lupo's in there. You know him?
No. I don't know any of these people.
There are a bunch of young kids out there doing their thing. Remember, if you're in the D.C. area, December 14th at 5 p.m., Kinda D.C., the community of best friends out there, is doing a meetup in Georgetown. You can go to twitter.com/KindaDC to find out about it. Then, thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed. Today, we're brought to you by Manscaped Brooklyn and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
Oh, Baker's Dozen.
Number one, welcome to the floor, everyone, the Game Awards Game Festival. I will read from their press release, which I think is pretty well done. It has one of those quotes in there, you know, from a press release. So, yeah. But then Jeff gets in. I'm like, yeah, okay, good job, Jeff. This Thursday, get ready to watch, celebrate, and now play what's next for the video game industry. Today, the Game Awards founder Jeff Keighley announced the Game Festival, a new digital consumer event concept that ushers in a new era for the Game Awards, which live streams for free across more than 60 global digital networks. The Game Festival is a first-of-its-kind digital consumer event that brings the magic of hands-on gameplay demos to fans around the world. For 2019, the Game Festival will launch a digital pilot program on Steam. The Game Festival will feature more than a dozen first-look game demos available to play for a limited 48-hour window before they are removed from Steam. Quote, 6 years ago, I bet everything I had to create the Game Awards as a way to celebrate our passion for gaming, said Jeff Keighley, creator of the Game Awards. Now feels like the right time to take the next step with the Game Festival, a completely digital approach to the consumer event space. Let's face it, not everyone can attend a physical trade show or consumer event. The Game Festival is designed from the ground up as an event without barriers, extending the benefits of a physical event to the global gaming community that watches the Game Awards, end quote. As part of the pilot Game Festival on Steam, more than a dozen games are scheduled to be playable. Some of the games that will release free, limited-time demos include System Shock, Eastward, Spiritfarer, Moving Out, Roki, Chicory, Wooden Nickel, Haven, Heavenly Bodies, Acid Knife, The Drifter, Carry On, and Skatebird. Alongside the festival, Steam will air the Game Awards live in 4K ultra-high definition, feature the Game Awards sale, and offer Steam viewers the opportunity to win a Valve Index VR headset and free game drops throughout the live broadcast. Gary, what a brilliant idea. I'm happy somebody finally had made this happen. This is something we talk about, I think, more and more as years go by. As we go to these E3s, as people enjoy watching a PSX from home, there's always been this conversation as an undercurrent of, this is rad, why wouldn't you put these demos out there? I understand you're trying to sell a ticket, you're trying to get them in, but if I'm PlayStation and I'm at E3, if I'm Xbox, if I'm anybody and I'm at E3, I'm not making money necessarily from the booth, right? I'm spending a lot of money to go to E3. Why wouldn't I want to get these demos out? And not the complicated demos where you need somebody at your side telling you how to play stuff. Why not get things out there for people to go? This is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, you know me, Greg. Nothing gets me more excited than new digital consumer event concepts.
I know. You love it.
And, you know, just in spite of the somewhat corporate language talking about consumer event spaces.
Your
and
traditional
so forth.
Press release.
This is, it's very press releasey, but this is a good idea. You're right. You know, a lot of people out there think of events like E3 and GDC and things like that as things that are inaccessible to them because they're not, you know, in the business. You know, you can always, trust me, you can always blag a badge if you really want to, but like it's, and
how
you know,
crafty
but,
can you get?
And lots of people, you have to travel a long way. Like it's not easy for a lot of people to go to these events, but they want to feel like they're a part of it. And let me tell you something, we've talked about this before. Remember when we had that person write in and said, should I try to go to E3? And I said, no, just go to PAX.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, you do this at PAX as well, but E3, it's even worse. Standing in really, really long lines to play Cyberpunk for like 10 minutes is not my idea of a good time.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, this does seem like a better way to do it. You know, you've got a big event with the Game Awards that a lot of people will be watching. There's obviously going to be trailer drops and things like that, but it's all inherently non-interactive, and games are inherently interactive. The concept of game demos has been around for a long time, so why not marry the two?
And sadly, in some way, it's faded away, right? Game demos. I remember, you know, 360, it was like anything you wanted to play on Xbox Live.
Well, that was the rule. Everything on 360 had to have a demo, and I loved that, and that kind of went away.
Yeah.
I like, you know, it's nice to be able to try a little bit before you buy.
Yeah.
Now demos are few and far between, and I think this is a cool thing. Like, you know, I admire, like, you know me, the creator of if you're not making moves, you're standing still. Jeff Keighley, always making moves.
Yeah, exactly. And he delivers on them, unlike you.
Yeah. I'm actually, you know, we actually have copies of the latest Space Rocks is shipping right now. So I do, in fact, deliver. And
Jeffrey P.
There's
Wong!
Going to be a major, major Space Rocks announcement in 2020. I'll just slip that in there now.
Still haven't gotten our box.
Jeffrey P. Long writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Hey, Gary, Space Rocks, number one fan here. I was the first person to buy Space Rocks at PAX, and I sat in the front row with Greg at your opening conference.
There you go.
I purchased one of your new special edition Space Rocks games back in November, and as far as I can tell, it still hasn't shipped. Is there any estimated time on when you will get it shipped out, or is there just something wrong with my order specifically?
Well, like I said, I preempted your question by saying, here's the reason why there was, because this was a much more elaborate version of Space Rocks than the previous one.
It's just red box.
We included a special red rock, which as it turns out, in order to meet our exacting, and by this I mean Leah's exacting quality control standards, had to receive 3 coats of spray paint.
Man.
And then each coat has to cure overnight. It took longer than us. Remember when Apple couldn't ship those white iPhone 4s for a long time because they couldn't get that white case?
Totally, exactly.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. I am basically Steve Jobs of
been a lot of
rocks.
Fun after school projects for your daughter, huh? Honey, we gotta paint these rocks red again.
Go in the garage with this extremely toxic paint. give it an extra coat.
Yeah, Jeff's always making moves just like
you. Everyone who ordered Space Rocks Red Alert Edition will be receiving that. If you haven't got it already, you will be receiving it.
And Jeffrey P. Long, if you can't trust the one-eyed tree,
it will be under the tree in time for Christmas. I wouldn't disappoint all the boys and girls out there.
No, you couldn't. You know what I mean? So many parents are waiting to shove that in a piece of coal in a stocking.
The Krampus.
No,
the Christmas
Krampus.
That's just not my style.
Yeah. I'm so glad this is happening. I think it's a really cool thing. What I'm excited about with Game Festival is where it'll be in 3 years. You know what I mean? Will we see Xbox and PlayStation get on board with it and be able to put demos up on their stuff too?
So basically, you'll be able to go to Steam over a 48-hour period and
play these demos. Yeah, download these demos, play these demos, I assume. And there's other ones coming. There's, what, a dozen, he said. These aren't all of them, so.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I'm excited to see what this actually goes to, and as you see more and more people join onto it. Nanobiologist points out that Blizzard released a demo like this, like TGA's before with WoW Classic back in 2018. Yeah, I understand that, but I think what I'm talking about is more than one game, more than just a company releasing one game.
The concept of demos isn't dead, but I really liked it when Xbox had that rule about every game on the platform had to have a demo.
Yeah.
And I kind of understand why they got rid of it, because it is a hassle to make a demo. So it's actually a big extra chunk of development resources to carve out an appropriate piece of demo. Like, you can't just go, okay, we'll just cut off the first 10 minutes or whatever.
Of course.
And depending on the kind of game, not every game is appropriate to make, like, a quick demo of. Like, how would you, like, a demo of Death Stranding would have been, like, how would you do that?
Yeah.
Again, you can say, okay, we're going to do, like, the first 10 minutes of the game, but, like,
you'd have no idea. You wouldn't get out of the cutscene.
Honestly, that would have put me off. I think a lot of people that went on to like Death Stranding, probably, if they played that demo, that actually might have been counterproductive.
Yeah.
Because they just, this is kind of frustrating, I keep wobbling and falling over. But, like, the game's greater rewards are arguably later on. It's kind of like the TV series where they say,
it gets good later on
after like the first. And do you think that's a good thing? Do you like that when people say to you about a new video game?
No.
Oh, after the first 20 hours, it gets good.
Isn't that
a bit of a fail?
1,000%. But people use it loosely in a lot of different ways, where I think it gets weird. Where we just did the Life is Strange spoiler cast yesterday for Life is Strange 2, right?
Okay.
And we were talking to that. It's me, Imran, and Don't Nod. And they even brought up where I was talking about how, you know, spaced out the release schedule was, which made it hard for me to get super invested until I let them all stack up and played through them.
Right.
And they were having that same conversation of, like, the release schedule wasn't how we wanted. It wasn't what we anticipated. But also the fact that sometimes that's how it is. You have to get in the groove with these characters and learn a couple episodes what their relationships are and how you feel about them. I think that's a different thing. That's not as black and white as like when it was, I think Final Fantasy 13, correct me if I'm wrong, where it was like that game. Oh, I remember so many people being like, ah, it's too small, it's too structured. Like, well, something like, you know, I forget what it is. I'm going to speak out of my ass on that one. But multiple hours in, it really opens up. And it's like, well, it was like an obscene amount of hours in that it actually did that. So why would you not like that? And that's where I've talked to with Death Stranding, where I'm like, people are like, oh, yeah, I didn't like it when I first started playing. But people tell me, I'm like, if you didn't like it when you first started playing, you're not going to like this game.
Right.
It's not like
it's not going to fundamentally
change.
You don't
fucking turn a corner and then, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, maybe it'll all click for you how the systems work. But if the general core idea of it isn't what you want, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Remember when PlayStation came out with their fucking February event and they were like, oh yeah, you know, we're partnering with Gaikai, so like you'll be able to stream every game before you buy it and be able to like,
I do remember
off,
that, yeah. How'd that work out? Yeah,
you didn't do it at all, you know what I mean? While we're on Game Awards, Nanobiologist has a You're Wrong, but it's actually just more information we could have looked up but didn't because we didn't care
too
much.
Who's the
content creator of the year?
Yeah, who is it?
It's Jack Courage Dunloop.
Nope. And I'm not saying, no, I don't approve of that, but I'm saying I've not heard of
them. Oh, no, 100%, I understand. Benjamin Dr. Lupo.
I've heard of Dr. Lupo, but I don't know what he does.
Exactly. Soleil Ewok Wheeler.
Nope.
But Ewok.
Yep. I mean, I know what an Ewok is, but I don't know who this person is.
David Greffer Martinez.
Nope.
And then Michael Shroud. Shroud.
Oh, I know Shroud. Okay. Yeah. All right.
That's why I'm pulling for Shroud because he knows us, and I worked with him once this year, and he was nice, and then he said I was cool when he was watching the EA Play thing, so that's why Shroud should win.
You know, we all eventually become our dads. Have we become our dads that we don't know any of these hip, cool, young people that are on the cutting edge of interactive entertainment?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that. I mean, like, I always think like it's just fun now. I actually appreciate that gaming is so big. I don't know everything that happens.
Here's
in
what
gaming.
Matters, Greg. Here we go. Here we might not have heard of them, but I bet you they fucking heard of us.
Fucking Shroud knows who I am. Now. I know who Shroud is
That's
too.
That's right,
so I
Kevin.
Guess that actually cuts both ways there. Does Dr. Lupo
and
know who I am?
If they haven't heard of us, they fucking will after screen
next
test.
Next time,
a seismic internet event coming your way.
Everybody, next time Ewok is streaming, I want you to go in there and say, hey, do you know Screen Cats, Kevin Coelho, and Gary Whitta? That's what you need to do.
Yeah, do you know Kevin Coelho and Gary Whitta from Screen Cats?
Do you hear something I think about often? Do you like Kevin's last name a lot? Because I do. Coelho. It like rolls off the tongue. You know?
Yeah. 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 It's got. It's like cellar door. It's got a a pleasing linguistic quality.
Yeah. Rhythm.
Yeah, I like it.
Rhythm. Yeah. Yeah. Frank Ferner writes in with a Game Awards question to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Says, "Good morning, Greg and Gary. It's Game Awards Eve, and that can only mean one thing. Speculation as to who will be nominated to win at next year's Game Awards."
Oh, they're already starting on that one.
Of course we are. "With listening to the beginning of this week's Gamecast, would Final Fantasy VII Remake even stand a shot since it's an incomplete story and a remake? What if Cyberpunk punks us all and is completely broken? What if Ellie became boring with age? I don't think any of that will happen, but what if?"
Right, what was the third one?
Ellie from Last of Us. What if Ellie became boring
with
age?
Right.
"I love speculating far ahead of everything, but if we assume the games next year are as good as we hope, I think it'll come down to the wire between Cyberpunk 2077 and Last of Us Part 2.
It's pointless to speculate this early, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of fun though because everybody's speculating about tomorrow.
We really have nothing better to talk about than we're already talking about next year's.
I mean, this is what it is. I mean, what else would you want to talk about?
Gary, just have fun.
What's happening this week?
Oh, what's happening this week?
Yep.
Porn! Number two on the Roper Report, Pornhub put out its year in review. It won't make sense at first, but we'll get there. Pornhub keeps on growing, and it doesn't show any signs of letting up. In 2019, there were over 42 billion visits to Pornhub, which means there was an average of 115 million visits per day. 115 million. That's the equivalent to the populations of Canada, Australia, Poland, and the Netherlands all visiting in one day.
Those dirty bastards. Those dirty Dutch.
Filthy people. This year must have been an adventurous one because there were over 39 billion searches performed, which is 8.7 billion more searches than last year. Celebrities, trending terms, and characters. If you can think it, it probably has been searched for.
Rule 34.
Yes. In 2019, there was a record amount of video uploads. Over 6.83 million new videos were uploaded to Pornhub. To put this in perspective, if you strung all of 2019's new video content together and started watching them way back in 1850, you'd still be watching them today.
And what kind of state would you be in by then?
Ah, man, just constantly fucking
you'd just
throbbing.
Be a husk.
Yeah.
You'd be a dry husk.
You might say, ladies and gentlemen, why is Kinda Funny Games Daily talking about Pornhub statistics. Well, as always, what Pornhub did is put in all sorts of stats, graphs, and broke it down. We're going to start with the traffic to Pornhub from game consoles.
What kind of server operation must they have over there? Just from a technical perspective, it must be really impressive.
Oh, Kevin's going to bring up the stuff there. If you scroll... What? Oh, no, it's totally safe for work. It's huge, though. If you click, they have hyperlinks there at the top. You're just blowing past it every time.
But we're here to talk about video games.
Devices and technology and then stuff. Video game searches. So anyways, traffic by game console breaks down like this. 51.5% used a PlayStation. This is the wrong graphic, Kev. You need
right now you're looking at devices.
Video games is what you need. Keep
scrolling. Most people look on their phones,
I guess.
Finding. Okay.
Oh, of course they do. Anyways, 51.5% used PlayStations, right?
Yeah, there it is, there it is, there it is.
Then,
okay,
up next, 34.7 use Xbox. And then, making me so fucking proud, 9.1% of video game console traffic was on the PlayStation
and
fucking
it went up
20,
and it was the biggest growth platform, from up 23% year on year.
2018 to 2019, 23% growth on the
so
PlayStation
just,
Vita.
Just when you, and you know me, Greg, I've been making jokes about the PS Vita being dead for years.
Yeah.
Because it fucking has been. Yeah. But.
Yeah.
Rise from your grave.
There it is.
It's the new platform for whacking off.
I know, right?
It's found a new lease on life.
Well, it's just you figure,
and it's a handheld, which you'd think would actually make it even trickier.
Well, yeah,
yet it's not holding it back.
See, I went in that way thinking that way too, but then I thought of my own porn consumption here and there, and usually it's on a phone, right? Like I'm not at a computer.
Greg, you tell me.
Oh, whatever. Look at you, you filthy bastard! You're gonna tell me you've never one-eyed Christmas tree over here never fucking touched his wang.
I've got questions about this. How do you even... I understand that Pornhub is like a website you can go to on your browser or on your phone, but how do you access it on your PlayStation or your Xbox?
Through the browser.
Through the browser?
Yeah.
That seems like a... I don't use those browsers. Aren't they shitty?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not like you need a... I mean, what? You want on the big screen? You want to be able to see all the squish and push.
But this is just... I mean, this is not necessarily... This is not saying that... I think if you were to go back up, you would find that like game consoles... Are a relatively
tiny.
Small segment of
imagine.
All the devices.
Well, here
it is.
Game consoles. Kevin, let me just read it though. Kevin, go back.
That's by web browser.
Oh god, he's scrolling so fast engine. And crazily. Just what's go. All right, stop. Game consoles aren't just for playing. They're also a handy way to play with yourself. This year, PlayStation. No, it doesn't tell me anything about like what.
No, so it doesn't tell you like how the consoles make up the overall picture. But it tells you that of the consoles, who is spanking it the most?
I'm sure,
and
I mean,
PlayStation users.
Of course, of course it is. Come on, there's just
now
so
is
many
it now is
units.
That right?
USA number one.
I'm not a statistical analyst.
Yeah,
but does that mean that is that number bigger simply because there are more PlayStations out there?
Yes.
Or are PlayStation gamers, PlayStation owners? More grubby little fiends than their Xbox.
You know it better than anybody.
I don't.
That gamers are gamers.
This is all new to
gamers.
Me, Greg.
Gamers are gamers are gamers, and we have all been there. You're playing a little Lumines on your PlayStation 4. You're playing
it's
some Tetris Effect. The rumble gets you just right, and you're like, you know what? PlayStation button over to the browser. Where am I going? Pornhub.
The rumble.
This is a fascinating insight into the private life of Greg Miller right here.
I'm just saying,
Lumines is the game that sets him off.
I fucking love Lumines. Nothing gets me harder than Lumines when I'm fucking
holy
out there
shit.
Just connecting.
This is really interesting too, like the searches and what people are using, where it's 94.06 Google.
Are you really that surprised that Chrome is the most used web browser?
I feel like Bing would, like with the amount of money
or
they
it's called that Google is the most popular search engine. Bing at 2.44, Yahoo 2.35. What the fuck is Yandex? DuckDuckGo? I've never even heard of these browsers, these
well,
engines.
You know what? Well, you don't travel the world. You know, you haven't been around.
Now there was some more. There was some more.
Oh, there's much
statistics.
More video game stuff. Of course, shout out for Apex Legends being like the number 8 overall. Like we have a lot. We have a whole bunch of video game stats again here. But searches that define 2019, number 8 was Apex Legends. But here we go. Most searched for video games of 2019. If you wanted to scroll to the very top, you can click on video games and go right to what I'm talking about here. Most searched for video games, though, this time around in 2019. Number one, Overwatch. That's
so, if
you, up
so what that 8%. Means is if you're looking for Overwatch-related porn...
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
All right.
Number two, Fortnite, which is down 17%. Number
Pokemon
three,
is up.
Pokemon, 21% up.
Minecraft is up.
Up. 34% is up.
Look, I know there's porn of everything, but is there actually Minecraft porn?
Yes. Isn't there? I mean, why not? Think of the creepers. Do you know they don't turn you on? Oh, he's gonna blow!
Worry. This really makes just, me worry the, about the future.
The porn
of the
human parody
race.
Writes itself. He's gonna blow. Cover your eyes. Don't get in your hair. You know what I mean? Come on.
I get it.
So, anyways, yeah. Number 4, Minecraft. Number 5, Apex Legends. Number 6, Resident Evil. Number 7,
Resident
Kombat.
Evil, the biggest mover, up 213%.
You say that, but then look down there. Borderlands.
Oh,
up
Borderlands.
554%.
Mass Effect down.
Borderlands was
down.
So big when it launched that they had to put out their own press release of not the Gearbox, but
Apex Legends is the only one that's on there with a bullet. Like that's the biggest new.
Yeah, that was the biggest
new obsession
search.
For
yeah,
video
if
game
you
freaks.
Scroll down, I think the next one is about. Yeah, there it is.
But
it
here's my question:
Apex, sure.
What are they finding? Like, I understand they're searching for it, and I know there is Overwatch porn out there. I know sure. that Overwatch has been a big hit, but what is? I mean, if you type Minecraft into Pornhub, are you actually going to find Minecraft porn?
I mean, I'm willing to do the scientific really study if you want to. If you want to take us away, there you go. Go to Pornhub, and then now, Kevin, I know.
I'm not going to lie. This is making me uncomfortable.
Just don't click over, Kevin. Don't let any of your little fingers hit the wrong button. Otherwise, you ruin
careful.
The entire company. I guess I could look on mine if you want, Kevin.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Better.
Well, that's a better idea.
Yeah, because you've already got it in your book.
Pornhub.
Right?
I let you know that I'm a man of sophistication. I'm not watching Minecraft porn. I'm not a child.
Apex Legends
Minecraft.
Versus Fortnite.
Oh, Minecraft. Yeah.
Look at there it is.
It's what
that's,
you think
oh,
it is.
Giant. Oh, see, no, it wasn't what I think it is. Because I always think of like,
what
oh,
is it?
This is like people taking the models and like.
Adding
they're,
butts?
Yeah, they're putting, they're making them into sexy Minecraft
oh,
people.
None of that's appropriate to show on the screen.
Of
it was, did you think
scary.
It would be?
Of
See,
course.
Honestly, I thought it was going to be people
I
like,
thought it was
dressed
just
up
be blocky.
Steve.
No, I thought it was going to be just like the blocky, like,
oh, like right there.
Machinima.
No, I mean, okay. So yeah, like
yeah, that's
that.
What you think. Yeah. Yeah, that's the kind of machinima you're looking for. Huh,
all right, okay.
Yeah.
What a world, Greg.
See, yeah, but to your point of like, oh man, like what did people find or whatever, right? This is the biggest news of 2019 was newcomer Apex Legends, which saw a massive number of search after it launched in February and remained a popular search throughout the year. You see, on February 18th, it hitting
yeah, look at that
little,
rocket.
What about 358,000?
Was that the day? Was February? Why February 18th? Was that the day that Apex Legends came out?
I think February. If you look at the growth there, right? Probably February 11th or the 13th was. Let's see.
When did Apex Legends come out? Yeah, because there's not going to be, no matter
oh,
how...
Oh, Apex Legends came out the 4th, it says. February 4th.
Wow.
All right.
Great turn.
So it took about 2 weeks for it to make an impact on the porn scene.
And again, that's the whole thing, is like people understand that, like, okay, cool. They understand their content creators, their porn content creators need time. Can't just whip up, God, I don't know anybody in Apex Legends. The guy who Roger Craig Smith plays, fucking the other... God, is the gorilla in that one? No, the gorilla's in... Wait. Is Andy here? Andy! No, gorilla is Overwatch. Wilson. Winston?
Oh, no,
Winston. Winston the gorilla in Overwatch.
You know, all games...
Right? That, and right there, there's a great crossover,
all games. All games want to achieve mainstream penetration, if you'll pardon the...
You did that on purpose. Don't
no,
act like
I honestly
you...
did. I honestly did. But like, is this like... Do you think that over at the Respawn offices, when this news came out, they went, good news, guys, look at this. We're the hottest new game searched on Pornhub. Like, do they consider that...
I guarantee
hot?
They did.
I would bet you money...
They probably are celebrating that,
I
right?
would bet you money there's an animator in there that's making... Like, that works for... The studio.
You think they actually have like a porn
on his
division,
own time,
subdivision?
No, but I think that on his own time, he's getting these assets and, you know.
Right. They're not unhappy that this is happening. Right,
oh, no, they're thrilled. Any advertisement. Popular. Okay, you know what? Let's do it. Let's look for, is there kind of funny Pornhub stuff?
No, don't search for that.
No, there isn't. I think
that's
maybe,
when you know you've made it.
Maybe I'm on there being kinda bongoing, funny. Getting bongoed.
Oh, I
getting
forgot.
Bongoed?
Our name's not very interesting. A lot
oh,
of people,
yeah.
A lot
well,
of people just know.
You have had
know.
A porn star on here, haven't you?
A former porn star, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah,
I've
no.
Had a future
no
one. Too early to tell, you know.
Never too late to realize your dreams, Kevin.
This Patreon stream can't run forever. At some point, the train's out of gas, and I'm going to Pornhub.
I think KFF's been on that course for a while.
Oh, my God. Nick's just waiting. Nick is one bad day away. Yeah. That's his Joker movie. Before we get out of all this sticky, sticky porn, most searched for video game characters. Number one,
Zelda.
A little about 5.6
million. She's up 138% versus
5.6 million searches for
Lara
her.
Croft, no surprise there.
D.Va, Overwatch.
D.Va, yeah, okay.
And then there
Super
he is,
Mario,
Super Mario.
Bowsette.
Remember Bowsette? That was
Mercy,
a big movement for
May.
A while.
Overwatch is dominating.
Now, Ada Wong, they called that in their breakdown, if you look there. Up 288% Ada Wong.
Ada Wong is from Resident Evil?
Yeah.
Okay.
And look at Pikachu hanging strong there. 372%. But
Overwatch is dominating it by character.
Sure. Yeah, there you go.
No man.
Who's the most interesting one? I wonder why, man.
Well, Mario. Mario's the only...
I'll say something stupid.
Is Mario the only dude?
Well, it's Super Mario, too, which is just the
what,
game.
That means he's big Mario. I don't want little Mario. If I'm watching my porn, I don't want some fucking... Tiny Mario.
All right, all right.
Finger blast in a mushroom.
Don't upset the small community.
What's more interesting, you said there's no men on there. Am I wrong in thinking they're the third from the bottom Andromeda for Mass Effect? They're searching for a galaxy? I want to see Commander Shepard fuck a galaxy.
What is going on?
People just love porn. You know what I mean?
Warcraft is off the scene. Warcraft porn used to be a big thing. That's gone. Perhaps again, a sign of its waning popularity overall.
Sure. Yeah.
But Blizzard is still owning the scene.
Sure.
Blizzard is still the number one like developer of games that get turned into porn fantasies. So, I mean, good for them, I guess.
Alex Russ says, companies aren't usually thrilled about pornifications of their character. Overwatch porn received a cease and desist on Pornhub initially.
Yeah, well, they've got to do that. But behind the scenes, they're loving it.
When someone wrote smut about our company.
We loved it.
Did they?
We read it aloud here until it got really awkward.
Slash fiction or something?
Yeah, they did. We sat.
Who was in it and what happened? What was the scenario?
All of us were in.
Was it like an aristocrats kind of scenario?
I was just watching, which kind of hurt my feelings. But
you were just watching?
I mean, that's what I remember.
Moving on.
This is the best show we've done in ages.
I knew it would be. Number three, Half-Life Alyx isn't coming to PlayStation VR yet. This is Stephen Talby over at Push Square. Is Half-Life Alyx coming to PlayStation VR? Not according to the debut trailer, but it's still something worth asking. In fact, we asked Valve this very question shortly after the game's announcement. We've just heard back, and the answer is unsurprisingly vague, but it still isn't a no. Designer Greg Coomer reconfirms that the initial release of Half-Life Alyx will be, quote, available for Steam VR only. It definitely sounds like Valve is aware of the desire to see the game come to PSVR, however, sirens are on our end in a second. Quote, we believe Sony's VR platform has been a huge success for the medium, and we assume that lots of Sony customers would love to experience this new chapter of Half-Life, end quote. Coomer goes on to confirm that a PlayStation VR port is not in active development because we're very focused on the initial release. Having said that, he concludes that Valve has not ruled anything out. It's as we expected. Valve isn't working on a PlayStation VR version of Half-Life Alyx, but it's not saying it won't in the future. We suppose it's also worth entertaining the possibility that the game will release on a successor to Sony's headset at some point in the years to come. It's no secret that PlayStation VR is at the lower end of the technical spectrum, so perhaps we'll see Valve's game appear on the next generation gear, assuming it happens.
Yeah, of course. It'll definitely happen.
It has to happen, right? I mean, Valve getting behind VR means they believe in VR, which means they have to, at this point, support all VR.
I mean, Valve hasn't just been behind VR. They've been one of the creators and, like, the biggest names, you know, alongside Oculus. It's Oculus and Valve, basically, are the two biggest.
PlayStation.
Yeah, I guess.
PlayStation's the most successful.
Yes, that's true, because they're in every living room and had the cheapest, easiest solution.
100%.
But Valve is one of those key players. It makes total sense that they're going to make this exclusive to the Valve Index first, because they want to sell their own hardware. And also the best iteration of it is going to be the one that makes use of the crazy Knuckles controller that they have. So if you want to experience the best version of it, it's kind of annoying for the likes of us, because we've got to go try and scrounge up a Valve Index.
I'm not even bothering. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do my Oculus Quest.
But don't you want to experience the best version of it? The Index is going to have the full hand control stuff.
I mean, I don't. Not to that point. You understand how...
You could easily get them to send you one for free. Why not just like make that happen?
Well, then I got to put it somewhere and do all this different stuff, you know?
Yeah, you call yourself a gamer?
I do. Well, but I call myself the lowest common denominator gamer.
This is the whole thing.
You said for the best experience. I could right now have a PC at home that runs games better than anything I can ever have on my PlayStation and the Rift.
They are a hassle to set up. They just are. The Vive. They're a big hassle. Yes, of course it will be coming to Oculus Quest. Of course it will be coming to PlayStation VR. It will be coming to all the VR platforms that can handle it, because it's going to be day one. I mean, it already is, but like day one that it launches, it's going to be the biggest thing ever to be on VR, but nothing else will even come close.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely. It's fucking Half-Life.
Sure.
and in VR, which is the dream of many of us for years. And it looks fantastic. It's Valve, you know, back doing what they do, like AAA, you know, awesome games. I think it's going to be amazing. And I do, you know, like once they've built it, they're leaving money on the table if they don't. Even if they even if they have to compromise it a little bit to release at least some form of a version. They're going to make sure that they prioritize Valve Index first because that's what they're selling. And then once they've sucked all the blood out of that, they'll monetize it everywhere they can, of course. Yeah. Of course they will.
And I think it does make the most sense to wait for whatever PSVR 2 is going to be when PlayStation 5 gets here and see what the power of the PlayStation 5 can be combined with this.
And this, do you think it's pretty obvious that there will be a PlayStation VR 2?
Yes.
Okay.
I forget if they've even said that. I'm pretty sure they have said that. No, they said it the opposite way. The PlayStation VR will work on PlayStation 5.
Right, but if there's going to be a much more powerful PlayStation, why not update the headset as well?
100%. Yeah, I think some patents came out again recently too. I didn't bother bringing it up on the show because whatever. There's patents filed all the time. But you'd be foolish not to, because I mean, VR is something that they found a market for.
I don't know the numbers on it. The problem is it's hard to tell with Sony because Sony are notorious for continuing to keep on life support things that they should have killed a long time ago, like the Vita. Like mini disc and all these different things that they've done over the years.
PlayStation.
So I don't know where is PSVR healthy? I don't know.
It is.
Okay.
The thing about it is, I understand what you're talking about. Let's focus on PlayStation rather than Sony as a whole, right? Just because mini disc gets into an area of expertise I don't have. You talk about PSP, you talk about Vita, you talk about Move. I think these are things that PlayStation launched with gusto, saying like, you're going to like these things, Move. Right? And we didn't like those. And PlayStation immediately backed off. PSP got a, remember that Destination PlayStation event where they came in with the paddles and they're like, it's not dead. Poof, we're putting an Assassin's Creed, a Motorstorm, a Little Big Planet. Like, we're making this thing happen.
Wait, they actually came out with paddles?
No. They just did it.
That would have been funny, though.
Proverbial announcement where they're like, we're making this thing happen. We're going to make PSP go.
Right.
And granted, PSP sells, of course, because it's easy to be hacked and all these different things. Yada, yada, yada. I think those three examples are the antithesis of what PSVR was. PSVR was marketed not as the next giant great thing. It was marketed as like, hey, you're a nerdy video game PlayStation person. We're making this headset. It's going to be rough. A lot of it's going to be demos. We're putting it out. And you put it out, and what? It was 4 months later, 6 months later, Andy House was publicly in interviews being like, we didn't make enough. I didn't think it was going to be as successful, and I look like an idiot now. Like, literally, and that was the thing. And you've seen it continue, and you've seen that attach rate continue, and you've seen PlayStation continue to support it and, you know, get into bed with Marvel to make this Iron Man game with camouflage. Like, they actually are making big budget things for it, big things for it. And the success of Astrobot on it, you know, the continued success of Beat Saber. Like, more than anything, the fact that you don't see people, at least I don't, buy PlayStation VR and then go on the internet and bitch about PlayStation VR. You see them buy PlayStation VR and sit on the subreddit and buy other games for it and get excited. And every day on that subreddit, I see a new person post, I got it, I'm joining the club. And everybody, here's what you need to do and here's what I'm doing. And you see the developers on those boards. Like, it's a really bizarre situation right now because it's small enough that it's still close-knit enough that it's not filled with assholes. Right. Where it's not people who are like, fuck this thing. I was joking around about it when we were, you know, talking about it up to launch. PlayStation did such a good job of, hey, this is PlayStation 1. We're launching a new PlayStation 1. This is not going to come out of the gate running. It's going to have to crawl. And I was like, that's awesome. Will people understand that? And, you know, you got 3 months removed from it, and I wasn't getting inundated on Beyond with PS I Love You XOXO with questions about, like, hey, I hate this thing, or hey, this is a waste of my money, or hey, it just sits on the shelf and I don't use it. And I also wasn't getting, hey, I can't stop playing it. It was that people bought in with an idea of what they were getting out of it and happy with what they got. And then you continue, it seems to be that, as Firewall continues to be
awesome. I guess,
you know,
we're still all just waiting for VR to really explode, like to really take off. And I think like platforms like the Quest are a big, you know, just stick it on, no wires, super easy. You know, the hands, you know, the hands-free controller stuff is coming.
It just came out, right? It's buggy as hell.
I remain confident it's going to get there. But let's be honest, the overall, the first few years of VR have been pretty rough.
Yeah, they've been rough in the fact that I think it wasn't what venture capitalists and investors and certain people on shows wanted it to be and prognosticated it to be, right?
Right. Well, they just want an immediate return on
it. Totally. And when it didn't, people backed off, which then made people think, oh, man, it's a failure, and it's not. It's just that I don't think you're going to ever see, I shouldn't say ever, but like with new tech like this, I don't think it was possible for it to be like day one, you have to have this.
Right.
I think you make a great point that like Half-Life, if it drops and it is as good as you think a Valve game should be, that'll be a huge moment for everybody of like, fuck, I need to get into this and pay attention.
The problem with it is it's going to remain, at least for the beginning, Very, very limited in its exposure because it's going to be restricted to the most expensive and complicated VR platform.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just throw on a Valve Index. Like, you got to put the knuckles and the whole thing.
Yeah.
What is it, like a grand? Plus it needs to be running on a high-end PC.
Yeah.
Like, the barrier to entry is really high. But they want to get this stuff out in front of everyone. So it needs to come to the Quest. It needs to come to the more accessible VR platforms
if they
want this stuff to take off.
I don't talk about it enough, but I love my Quest so fucking
Quest
much.
Quest is great.
Every time I use that thing, it's like, holy shit, is this amazing.
Yeah, and
is
it's only going to get better. You know, yeah. You can plug it into your PC and use it as a Rift, so you've got access to all those titles. The hands-free stuff, and it's either here now, and I haven't checked my Rift in a little while. It's either...
No, it just came.
So it just dropped, so now you can do that. I got to check that out, actually. So yeah, I do believe that in a few years from now, we'll all be in something closer to Ready Player One than we have today.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Number four, Twitch is signing its own exclusive streamers. This is Hayden Taylor at GamesIndustry.biz.
Oh, did they sign a deal with me?
No.
Why not? Why am I not in the first round?
Kevin, can you do me a favor and actually go to GamesIndustry.biz? I remember when I went and put the article into the rundown, I put Hayden Taylor, but I didn't fact check if it actually was Hayden or if it was James or if it was Rebecca. The live streaming exclusivity arms race is now in full swing after Twitch announced its first tranche of deals. Did I say that right? Tranche, right?
Tranche.
Yeah. Twitch revealed this week that Benjamin, Dr. Lupo, Squib, Lyric, Zahid.
Oh, I know Lyric.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like, you know him? Like, have you called
him? No, I mean,
him, like...
I've watched his streams. He's an odd one because he doesn't have a camera. You only hear his voice. But he's been very successful anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was right. It is Hayden Taylor. And then back to his article. And Timothy, Tim the Tatman, Bitar, have signed multi-year contracts with the video streaming platform. The announcement comes just months after Mixer made the surprise announcement that Tyler Ninja Blevins, the most popular Twitch streamer at the time, had signed an exclusivity deal with the Microsoft-owned platform. Blevins was then joined soon after by Shroud, who left behind 7 million followers on Twitch for a new prospect at Mixer. Lupo, Zahid, and Betar are some of the most popular streamers on Twitch, representing nearly 550 million combined views.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, I'm next.
Are you?
Well, let me tell you.
I feel like it's Sancho West, you, about 4,000 other people, then Fran.
Fran's up there. Fran's doing good work.
Can we? I know. I love Fran very, very much.
I know
are we
you
making
like to
fun
shit
of
on Fran whenever you can, but I personally am a Fran fan. I'm a Fran stan, you could say.
Hate you. Oh man, I hate you.
But since we're talking about Twitch, let me get in a quick plug. Let me tell you what's going to be going on the channel tonight.
Give them the one shot.
Twitch.tv/GaryWitter. I got 5 codes for the new Supergiant game Hades.
Ooh!
That we're going to be giving away.
Hades is a great game.
Thanks to my good friend Greg Kasavin over at Supergiant. He gave me 5 codes for Hades. We're going to play some marbles on stream, give away 5 codes. I'm also going to be checking out some of the latest videos from my favorite new YouTube personality, the Crazy Russian Hacker. If you haven't checked him out, you need to check out Crazy Russian Hacker. And I'm going to be staging a live dramatic reading of the Trader Joe's 2019 Christmas Fearless Flyer.
Wow.
The whole thing.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I'm going to be sampling some of the goodies that are on offer in the Trader Joe's Christmas Fearless Flyer. You know, they have very good festive offerings.
I don't shop at Trader Joe's. I've been to a Trader Joe's.
You're missing out.
Yeah, okay.
They have good stuff there.
Okay.
Never had that jingle jangle that they have at Christmas time?
Yeah.
But you got to get in on that. You got to get some jingle jangle.
Okay. I'll look into it. Bring me some jingle jangle next
time. I will. I'm going right after the show. I'm going to go get some.
Oh, okay. Bring it back to me.
All right.
Remember, if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime. We'd love it if you gave it to us. Even if you're a podcast listener right now, you can stop the car on the median of the highway and then open up your app and give it to us. Number 5, a short one. Greg Rice has left Double Fine. He was the VP of business there, and he's going to PlayStation. Today, Greg Rice, friend of the show, tweeted, "Very excited to announce I'm joining the amazing team at Sony Interactive Entertainment as the global head of indie accounts. I'll be managing all independent developer and publisher accounts and building new initiatives to support indies big and small from all over the world."
That's a good move for Greg and a good move for Sony.
Oh, 100%.
Greg is great.
We love Greg. Congratulations.
Yeah.
He's one
obviously
of
has a pedigree through all his time at Double Fine.
Sure.
Has a pedigree in indie games, I would say, to none.
If you ever hear us talk about Day of the Devs, Greg is the guy who sets up Day of the Devs. Like, Greg knows indie games in and out. He's also the guy who sets up Indie Game Night at Judges Week in conjunction with, all these different giant corporations go down there, throw these big events for the judges to come see games. Greg sets up a place for indies to show their games.
And an impressively tall man as well.
Very tall. Way taller than me, which is crazy.
How tall are you?
6'2", 6'3".
Are you 6'2"? Yeah, 6'3". Why do you say 6'3"? I mean, which one is it?
I don't know. I'm so tall that nobody can do it. Check it.
No one can get an accurate...
I feel like, well, there's that, you know, when you're actually trying... Oh, how tall are you? And somebody measures you, you really go
up. Did you kind of like,
you straighten your shoulder a little bit? Otherwise, I'm slouching a little bit, you know. I also think it's a great point to PlayStation 5 and what PlayStation is planning on. One of the conversations, right, this year has been, or I guess not this year, but this generation has been PlayStation 4 starting so strong with indies, then taking their foot off the gas, worrying about AAA stuff, not putting indies on stage as much, getting rid of PSX. Meanwhile, Nintendo coming on so strong, the Switch becoming the place for indies. As you get to PlayStation 5 and you figure there will be a very similar to PlayStation 4 launch as... The first party starts spinning up games for PlayStation 5. You have a launch lineup of games for PlayStation 5 that you assume won't be... They'll be great. They may not be amazing. You need something in there, right, to keep people entertained with the box they just bought. You need Shuhei Yoshida and Greg Rice out there beating the streets.
Yeah, and you've got Chris Charla and those guys over on the Xbox side doing their thing, ID at Xbox. Can I just say in general how great it is, just how far indie games have come, like in the last decade? Indie games, they've always been around, but they used to be kind of this little weird side thing. Like you'd find these games over on Steam or whatever, or you'd have to delve into like weird places to go get them. Now, indie games are truly, truly mainstream.
Oh yeah,
and I love it.
Did you watch that Nintendo Indie World yesterday?
What was that?
Nintendo Indie World yesterday.
No, did they have like a little indie showcase?
Yeah, a lot of good stuff there.
And a lot of the State of Play stuff was indie stuff as well.
Yeah, they
put
some stuff in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good time to be alive.
Yeah.
Excited for
it. I love it.
However, Ray Briggs II writes in and says, "Hey, Greg and Gary. As Gary knows, one of the best things about having a kid is when they start to show genuine interest in something you love. Recently, my 10-year-old Lizzie has become quite the gamer. This year, she has played Super Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, Link's Awakening, Luigi's Mansion, Bloodstained, Rayman Legends, and Smash, to name a few. She listens to Kinda Funny Games Daily sometimes, and I wanted to share with the best friends that she finally beat her first game, Mario Odyssey. She was so excited to beat her first real game. I watched the whole thing. After she was done, she turned, gave me a huge hug, and said, 'Dad, I can't wait for Mario Odyssey 2 now, but that's so far away. If I wanted to know what games are coming to the mom and grop shops today, where would I look?'"
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Ray does have a PS on his thing. "This story is real outside the last bit. Also, my girls, Jane and Elizabeth, were the girls Gary wished Merry Christmas to last year, and they loved it. Gary, you are awesome, and thanks."
I appreciate that, and thanks to you. And let me just say in general, I agree with his point that it is great when your kids love the things that you love, but I still really strongly believe this. Don't, if you want a tip-top parenting tip from me, don't try to push kids into the things that you love. Let them discover those things for themselves. Like our daughter discovered Mario and all that stuff, like, just through osmosis, because, like, we play those games around the house.
Sure.
And she decided for herself, like, the things that she's interested in. Like, we never said, like, oh, you've got to try this, you've got to like that. Like, I'll show her things, but I won't, like, promote them and say, oh, you have to like this because daddy likes it. Yeah. We were in the car yesterday.
So you got to reverse psychology a bit.
Not even non-psychology. Just let her discover. Like, she's really into Pokemon. She discovered that for herself.
Yeah.
Kids will discover things for themselves.
Sure, but what if they discover the wrong stuff?
They go
stuff.
To school, they see stuff on TV.
Yeah, like, what if they like sports?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that either.
No. If I, you're telling me right now, it's already been, what, 2 years or whatever of having a closet full of unopened Ghostbuster Playmobil shit for this kid I don't even have any plans for
yet? I'm telling you.
If I fucking have this kid and this kid doesn't like Ghostbusters, it's out on the fucking street.
Right, so I'm telling you, and the best way to make sure that doesn't happen is don't fucking shove all the Ghostbusters stuff on them, because then the reverse psychology stuff, I guarantee you it will fucking backfire.
Here's what you do. By all means,
leave an Ecto-1 out on the table.
Okay.
Leave a Ghostbusters Blu-ray lying around or whatever, but don't try to push it on them, because they will push it back. I was in the car. We were in the car with my daughter just yesterday. The McDonald's down on Ocean that they just read. Have you been in there since they
did
it?
No, I haven't done the reopen one.
I don't like the remodel.
Yeah. But they made it smaller.
It's smaller, right? It's weirder. Yeah.
I thought Tim told me at once they were adding a second story.
No, they definitely didn't do that. They made it look weirdly smaller.
We make assumptions.
It's more modern, but I don't like it as much. Anyway, we're in the... drive-through line, and they had all the signs up for like what they're offering right now, and it was the new Happy Meal, and all the Happy Meals right now are Rise of Skywalker.
Oh sure.
And my kids see stuff. Whenever we pull up to the drive-through, she's excited to see like what the Happy Meal.
Oh, sure, yeah.
What kind of toy am I going to get? And she pulled up. Why are we looking at the Rancor?
Wow, well, I was like, I was like, damn, Kevin's already got his Star Wars toys up.
Oh, I didn't know if you were trying to make a.
Throw it side by side.
I can't really do side by side.
Well, just throw a picture in picture. So you're saying Gary looks like Gary? Is this from Twitch chat that he looks like the Rancor Keeper?
No, it's this just is just an your own thing.
Okay.
Well done, Kevin. Very good. And she said, oh, why is it Star Wars? I said, well, that's just what, you know, our corporate overlords have decided is going to be on offer this month. And she said, but I don't like Star Wars.
You should have pulled the fucking car over and taken off your belt.
I could have thrown an adult shit fit, but I just let it go. If she doesn't like Star Wars, that's her choice.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll like it when she's older. Maybe she won't. It's totally up to her. I am not going to fucking sit her in front of Star Wars and say, you've got to like this.
But does she understand her whole existence? She should make her own decisions about what she likes. And she knows it is based on the fact that you wrote Rogue One.
She knows I worked on Star Wars, but she doesn't particularly care for it herself.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
She likes the fact that I worked on it. She knows it's a cool thing.
Which ones?
She hasn't seen any Star Wars yet that she likes.
Hmm.
And she may in the future, but if she does or she doesn't, I honestly don't care. All I care about is that she finds for herself the things that she likes and cares about and develops her own tastes and doesn't have them curated for her.
I would have driven her home with her Happy Meal, walked her into the room, said, there's your fucking suitcase, start packing it.
They're basically trying to rediscover some kind of second childhood by reinventing themselves in their fucking child's body by saying, oh, you have to have all the same tastes.
As a quick aside, no, Kevin, reopen it.
That is a fucking parenting... No.
What
are these fucking toys? These don't look like toys. They look like fucking
shampoos.
What
are these things?
It's that shit they're tricking kids with where it's like, look, it's a toy. No, this is a piece of plastic.
It is just a piece of plastic, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like
it. These are just drawings of the toy. What is the toy?
I think these are the toys right now.
Do they not click on one of them?
What is that?
Hold on here. Maybe some more information here.
We get an animated 22-second
video that's going to explain just what this thing does.
No, it's just an ad for Star Wars.
Oh, you don't know. Oh.
What the fuck is that?
Hold on,
it does do something.
Oh,
his body comes out.
Great.
Is that it?
That looks like...
Oh, holograms!
Holograms!
Dude, we fucking ordered a boatload of McDonald's yesterday. We should order some of that.
Although, what was weird, even though we went through the drive-thru and Rise of Skywalker stuff was up, we didn't get that. We got a Frozen 2 toy. So who the fuck knows what you're going to get?
I think the best thing to do with kids and teaching them about shit you love is wait till they're old enough to appreciate it.
Yeah.
And like sit down with them and be like, hey, let's put on a movie. I remember my little brother turned 7, sat down with him. I was like, we're just going to watch this movie.
What porn you put in?
Jesus Christ.
The only thing...
A New Hope. It was A New Hope.
There's only two things that I have... put in front of my kid because I absolutely 100% knew that she would respond to them, even though she didn't want to respond to them. She's like, no, because again, if dad says it's cool, you gotta watch
it. I know
the initial reaction from a 7-year-old is gonna be no, it's gonna be uncool.
Yeah,
but don't say it's cool but
I was 100% right about Wallace and Gromit. She fucking loves Wallace and Gromit. Sure. Now she can't get enough of it. And the other one that I said, just watch one, and if you don't like it, you don't like it. And now she's the biggest fan, Mr. Bean.
Oh.
She cannot get enough Mr. Bean.
Really?
And frankly, nor can any of us.
No, I hate him.
I really hated Mr. Bean for a while. It wasn't until Love Actually where I was like, you know what? This guy might be all right.
Are you kidding? In Love Actually, he pisses me off
but
so
he's
much.
But he's like, good. It's funny.
Do you fucking understand what's happening?
Well, first off.
He needs to go.
He's cheating on his wife. Trying to.
I understand,
I'm not going to sympathize with him.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Is Rowan Atkinson
the man is saying,
yeah.
Do it quickly.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
So good.
Do it quickly is what the man is saying.
Listen, Snape's about to cheat on his wife.
But didn't he like Blackadder?
What was that?
What?
Don't he like Blackadder?
Is he saying words? Is he having a stroke?
I think he's having a stroke.
I need to.
Are you trying to say Blackadder?
Cultural heathens, Philistines. I'm surrounded by cultural Philistines.
You've never heard of Blackadder?
I'm having flashbacks to the time that I quit my Warcraft guild because I was the only one in it who'd ever heard of the Smiths. I was like, I got to get out of this fucking place.
The Smiths and Black Adder.
I can't talk to these people.
Oh, Mr. Brightside's. I never. Big Smiths fan.
Nothing's coming up when I search Black Adder.
Let me tell you about our sponsors today. We'll start with Brooklinen.
Are you using one of those bad search engines?
Making your home beautiful is the ultimate form of self-care when you spend a third of your life in the sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? And this holiday season, it's time to get the gift for your loved ones that is so cozy, like bedding, loungewear, towels, and more. And lucky for you, Brooklinen is celebrating their days of gifting with daily promotions on different items. It's home of the internet's favorite sheets, of course. Brooklinen's got more than 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. You know I exclusively use my Brooklinen sheets that I was able to get by mixing and matching online, but they've expanded so much since then. Of course, now you can get sheets, robes, loungewear, towels, and more, all luxury products without the luxury markup, because of course, they are a direct-to-consumer brand. They cut out the middlemen. They work directly with the people who make the stuff, give it to you. There you go. Everybody's good. It's soft. It's great. You'll love it. And guess what? The holidays are here, and you need to get people prizes and gifts. I guess not prizes. You're probably not doing some kind of shooting competition at Christmas. But you need to get them gifts, prizes for making it through another year being in your family. Why not Brooklinen? Right now, Brooklinen.com is having their days of gifting, where each day they have promotions on a different surprise item. Brooklinen is so confident in their products that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get access to Brooklinen's days of gifting event and free shipping is to go to Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. And if you're just hearing this and it's after the holiday season, you can still use the promo code games at brooklinen.com for 10% off and free shipping anytime. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Brooklinen.com, promo code games. Get some prizes for people.
Do you have those sheets, Greg?
I do, yeah.
You like them?
100%.
All right.
Like, not, I mean, I'm not even reading that ad anymore. I can tell you, no, I really do like them. They're really great. Quip, another thing I use every day, twice a day. This morning I brushed my teeth, then went and worked out, and then I was like, came back. I was like, I need to brush my teeth again. I did, and Quip's the way to do it. The holiday season is here, and this year, your gift can start next year's good habit with Quip. Quip is something that's sure to put a smile on everyone's mouth because it's dental care they'll actually want to use every day. That's why Quip is the perfect, thoughtful, and practical gift. With an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and toothpaste, all intentionally designed to make good habits simple. The Quip electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations and a timer with 30-second pulses to guide your routine, and the Quip floss dispenser that has pre-marked strings so you always use the right amount. Plus, Quip delivers brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills every 3 months. Join over 3 million happy customers and check everyone off your list right now with Quip. Just go to getquip.com/games to save on gift sets and get your first refill free with the refill plan. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games. Getquip.com/games. And finally, it's Manscaped. Support for Kinda Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offered precision engineered jewels for your, or no, tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Tim and I use it, and every day we look at each other's balls and say, those are some good-looking balls. That's why this revolutionary company, Manscaped, has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 2.0 comes inside the Perfect Package 2.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. Of course, you get the crop preserver. It keeps your balls from sweating, and it keeps them smelling good. You get all this different stuff. The manly scent is attractive. The Perfect Package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade to those overused boxer shorts that you should have gotten rid of forever ago and you never did. Tis the season to Manscaped, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Gary, out today.
Yes, Greg.
The fierce and frenzied 99-person multiplayer matches of the Tetris 99 game just got even more intense. Whoa. With the addition of Team Battle Mode.
What? Yeah, I'm into this.
Shout out to Tetris 99 who keeps adding things.
I was just about to make the exact same point. I'm really glad that Tetris 99, they're continuing to, because it was great out of the gate.
Right.
Brilliant concept.
Yeah.
Very fun. But I'm really glad that they continue to add these features and grow it. It's terrific.
Yeah.
Team Battle sounds really fun.
Headliner, Novi News comes to Xbox One. Ultimate Racing 2D comes to Xbox One. Transport Fever 2 comes to PC. Metal Lord Origin, Xbox One. Vampire, The Masquerade, Quarteries of New York comes to PC. Stone on Xbox One. Oliver's Adventures in the Fairyland, PlayStation 4. Ghetto Conspiracy on PC. Not for Broadcast Prologue on PC. I'm not sure what the prologue is. Not for Broadcast, one of the games I played at Day of the Devs, which I really, really had fun
with.
What
is it?
It's basically Kevin's job. You sit there at like a rinky-dink like 80s TV station, and you have to choose the ads and put them in the tape player.
Oh,
and then
cool.
You have the live feed and the actual feed that's out, like, so you have to like switch cameras, you have to cut during interviews, you have to like, you know, play the intro graphic to do the thing. And
that could be fun.
Yeah, it is really fun. I'm not sure what the prologue is, though. Santa's Holiday is on PC and Mac, and then Zupple? PC, Racco Venture PC, Blocks Julius Caesar on PC and Mac, Cook Dungeon on PC, Anthem gets a game update 1.6 is Ice Tide Season, and then Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order has released a photo mode.
I'm surprised they're still. I thought Anthem they had just like shut it all down and said do like Anthem 2.0. But they're still road mapping in the meantime.
Yeah, well, they're still doing like seasonal updates though. This isn't like a huge update. It's more like, hey, here's events and you can do the free roam and do this jazz.
Any of these games tickle your fancy on title alone?
No. I mean Tetris 99, of course. And I want.
Well, yeah, but
not
you know what that is.
But
I'm saying like looking at these and like only going by the title.
I mean, Stone on Xbox One is pretty bold.
Yeah.
What's your game? Stone. Oh, fuck.
Santa's Holiday, you know, for the festive season.
Yeah, you want to see a trailer?
Yeah. Can we get
a Santa's Holiday PC trailer for you?
Yeah, sure.
While you do that, I'll give you some new dates. Two Point Hospital is going to be on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch February 25th, 2020. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2's DLC Ultra Pack 2 will be available tomorrow, December 12th. Grand Guild's Tactical RPG is coming to consoles and PC in Q1 2020. And The Disguiser of Fate is coming to Steam on December 19th.
The Disguiser of Fate.
okay,
look. Are you seriously telling me that this is the first time you've ever seen or heard of Blackadder?
Yes. 100%.
Are you fucking kidding
me? I am 100%. I thought Mr. Bean's career started with Mr. Bean.
Yep.
Are you fucking
What is this? Is he cool or not?
This looks god awful.
Even Siri's offended. Siri just said, I won't respond to that. The Blackadder was a brilliant, brilliant comedy on BBC in the 1980s, starring Rowan Atkinson, and each season is set in a different period of British classical history.
That sounds boring.
Oh my fuck.
Who wants classical history?
This is a comedy.
All right, let's just move on, because this conversation is going
like
to annoy me.
Amelia Bedelia stuff.
What?
Is this Santa's Holiday?
Yeah.
Let's check it out. Okay. All right.
You're in?
Oh! It's a mystery! Fuck
now
you!
Now I'm in! All
fuck
right.
You! I thought it was going to be something cool.
It could.
Like
I mean, that's cool, yeah.
I like Match 3, but do we really need another one?
Yeah. This one's Christmas themed.
I mean, yeah, it's Santa's Holiday. It's Christmas themed.
This seems like a really weird business. Like, how many of these are they gonna sell after? There's a very short window to sell this game. Because are you still gonna
but
be wanting to do this like
now,
after
week
Christmas?
To go, week to Christmas. I mean, you can reskin this anytime you want.
Yeah, I guess it's easy enough.
Hello. Lucy James from GameSpot, you're on Kind of Funny Games Daily. How are you,
Lucy? Fuck, set this. Set,
I'm good.
Set Greg Miller straight. This
so
is,
here's
I'm,
the thing.
I'm very
I need
annoyed.
A contemporary. I'm here, of course, with my grandfather Gary Whitta, and he's all like, "Oh, this show's great," and we all loved it. And he showed images, and me and Kevin think it looks stupid. Was Black Adder a good show?
Get her off the phone. Just get her off the. I'll find a. I'll find a proper Brit. Hold on.
There were bits of Black Adder that I did really like. The World War was it 1-1. I watched it when I was very young, and I didn't really watch it a lot. But I remember the ending of the World War One was really good and impactful. I remember we even watched it in our history class.
Oh yeah! Wow, that's what I want to watch when I go home for fun history class videos. You know.
Well, I mean, you know, come on. We are still the country that gave the world Fawlty Towers, so.
Never watched that either.
The hell did she just say?
Fawlty Towers. It was something that used to come on Comedy Central super late, but I would just turn it off.
Lucy, I'm now also very disappointed in you. This is not what I expected at all. My disappointment is crossing transatlantic boundaries right now.
Ask her if she's watched Dairy Girls.
Have you seen a show called Dairy Girls?
No, I haven't. I did start it.
Hang up. She doesn't know what's going on.
I watched Dollface instead.
I don't know. You guys are just making up shows. I'll see you at home. Bye.
Dairy Girls is real good. You watch Dairy Girls?
You found the one. You found somehow the one Brit that, when asked about Blackadder, goes.
I mean, we'll call
give
Rahul
me a
right
fucking
now.
Break.
We'll call Rahul right now.
What?
We'll call Rahul Kohli. You want to see?
You want another?
Is
Brit?
He a Brit?
Yeah, he's an actor.
How old is he though?
He's
42.
All right, okay, call
he
him.
Acts young,
he's not 42? He's younger than us.
Call your boy, what's his name?
Cameron?
Superman, yeah.
What's his name? Right, yeah.
He'll give you a proper answer.
It's funny how quickly I just go to lying.
Oh, no, he plays young.
Greg Miller, how are you?
Cameron Cuff, I'm great. You are on Kinda Funny Games Daily with me and Gary Whitta. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. How are you, Gary Whitta?
I'm very well. I need you to settle an argument.
Okay. What was Blackadder a good show?
Oh, yes, very much so. Not in the first season.
That's true. The first season wasn't the best, but after that it was brilliant.
Yeah, but particularly the season set in World War One, utterly brilliant. Probably the best British comedy show of all time.
Now, okay. Has he watched Derry Girls?
Have you watched Derry Girls?
Yes, actually, I have a couple friends in Derry Girls, and it's completely brilliant.
All right, nobody likes to show off. Hang up.
All right, Kevin's telling me to hang up on you because you're showing off now.
Well, Kevin... I had very high opinion of you, and now I don't.
Oh, it goes a knife cuts
he
both ways.
Mean it. He's
and
joking.
I now have I had a high opinion of Cameron already, but now my opinion is higher because he's got proper taste.
Perfect. All right, Merry Christmas, Cameron. We love you.
All right, lads. Bye. Happy holidays. Take care.
Bye. What a nice young
Lucy
man.
James. My goodness, what a letdown.
Hey, she said the same episode though.
No
World
wonder
War
they
One.
Kicked her out.
They same sent her
season.
Back in.
Same season.
Same season.
The World War One season. Is that what they're
oh, sorry, my
there's four seasons.
Yeah. It's
one
all
is,
available
one
on...
is, there's four seasons. One is set...
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I already hear the best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today, we have a different one, and somehow it lines up exactly with the conversation we had organically on this show. Katie writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says where the game she needs help in is not a game at all. It's real life on the 12th. People in the UK, Angry Greg voice, don't forget to go vote.
Go vote.
Also, Gary, do you have any opinions on our current government? Smiley face.
On whose current government?
UK. UK. Your government.
Oh, in the UK. All right. Look, let's get political for a second. It's general election day in the UK tomorrow. Fuck Boris Johnson. Fuck the Tories.
Yeah.
10 years of austerity and treating... working class and poor people like shit has got to stop. Vote Labour or whatever precinct you're in, vote tactically, whatever you got to do to keep the Tories out. I don't think it'll happen. I think the Tories will be elected tomorrow. Boris Johnson is a piece of shit. Do everything you can to kick him and all his fucking scumbag public school cronies out. Vote Labour, vote tactically, get Boris out. He is scum. Are we? Is that okay for me to get that political on the show?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, thank you very much.
Why would I stop you?
And watch Blackadder.
As long as we don't know what you're talking about, you can say whatever you want.
That's right.
No, we get political all the time here. That's why I'm always talking shit on PC. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, we want you watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. Nanobiologist has two for us. He says the Vive VR system is $400. The Vive Pro VR starter kit is $800. It is made for longer usage and 3D sound. And Vive Pro full kit is $1,100 currently.
Is that the Index? Is he talking about the Index?
I have no fucking idea.
The fuck's the Index?
That's
the Index
that's
is the latest
Valve
and greatest.
One.
And yeah, that's yeah, the one that has the fancy hand controllers that is baked into the game design of Half-Life Alyx.
Valve
Index. I already got it.
Price. You already got it?
Oh, this looks fancy. That's a fancy looking box.
Well, yeah, it's the fanciest of all
who's
the VR headsets
it?
Right now.
Valve. So then scroll down.
Due to recent high demand, this item will ship in January 2020. I get that.
No, so $1,000 right there.
No, $1,000.
That's $1,000 for the Valve VR kit.
I wonder if I can get my company to pay for that.
Then, yeah, seven. Yeah, the Valve Index headset and controllers is $750. Oh, that comes out.
Wait, the headset and controllers is $750. The Index VR kit. Oh, that includes the lighthouses. I already have those, though. Ooh, I could just get the headset and the controllers.
Well, what lighthouses do you have?
I mean, did they get updated?
I mean,
the base stations.
Because like, I have HTC lighthouses.
Yeah, but I think those will work.
Is that how that works?
I mean, I'll have to look. I mean, I could ask someone
with
Vive Pro. Would know.
Yeah, for people with Vive Pro. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is not made by HTC.
I'm just I think they finished their deal with HTC. I'm just wondering if those base stations, the ones that I have when I got with the original Vive, will also work with the Index.
I think so.
Yeah,
Valve
I think
Index
so.
Index base stations for people with Vive Pro.
Yeah, okay.
So I got to imagine it works the other way, right?
So just the headset, they're totally sold out. But the headset and controllers, I think that's what I would need.
It looks like they're out.
No, he's talking it down a little bit.
Requires right base stations.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, okay. So I got to get that.
That's why you get the Quest, man. It's all in one box. And everything will eventually get there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good though. Nanobiologist says Rahul is 34, you dinguses. Zaire says, breaking news, Forza Horizon 4 is adding a Battle Royale mode. Katie says, Gary Hart, fuck the Tories. Blackadder is a national treasure.
There you go. The people, I know my people are out there. They're just not in here.
Weren't you just saying, and like these are your words, not mine, Gary.
Yes.
Okay.
What?
If the first season is bad, the show is a fail. Isn't that what you said, Gary?
He got you.
Again, I'm not. These aren't my words.
I didn't say that. When did I say that?
Earlier today.
I said that you have to if you have to sit through 20 hours of gameplay before the game gets good, that's a fail.
Boris in Double Zero says Valve Lighthouse will work with the index.
The first season's good. It's just not. It just got better. A lot of people don't.
Ladies and gentlemen,
season.
That's Kind of Funny Games Daily. Thank you so much for joining us and hanging out. It's my final one of the week. Remember, tomorrow, Imran and Tim will be hosting Kind of Funny Games Daily. Then, that night, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch the Game Awards with us. I'll call in if anything crazy happens. Friday, Imran and Snowbike Mike bringing you home for the week. Yeah, that's right.
When Snowbike am I going to get to host with Snowbike Mike?
When do you want to?
As soon as possible.
Let's get you in the new year because, next year you got to come in. I want to have one more Christmas widow day with
okay.
me.
Okay,
you know
I'm doing the new year.
Come in on Thursday, too.
I mean, we can try to. We'll figure it out. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the rigmarole. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Support this nonsense. We love and appreciate you so much. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.